Okay, so I'm Nick Tassler, and I do have a speaking voice, but I'm going to use a microphone instead so I don't have to scream and get hoarse. Today we're going to be talking about, or Mike is going to be talking about, the rope series after we have a baptism. And so he asked me to talk about this experience I had a couple years ago. Basically, the gist of the story is that I kind of had this, I realized after, you know, pretty much all 35 years of my life up to that point, 34 at that point, that I had kind of this default setting about the way I think about God and the way that the world works. And it was kind of based on these two almost automatic assumptions that I started every situation thinking, you know, look at this question of God shows up. Well, A, I'm not even sure if God exists. In fact, if I really am honest with myself, I believe there's probably a pretty good chance that there is no God, at least not the one that I've been taught about. And secondly, that even if there is a God, there's no way that I could possibly live up to the standards of self-denial and holiness that this God wants of me. And it never really occurred to me consciously that I think that way, but if I had to take a really honest, sober look, I'd have to look at it and say, that's how I behave. I might say I believe in God, but that's really how I behave. So it occurred to me just randomly, and I don't really know where it came from. All of a sudden, one day I decided, what if I kind of change that automatic default setting, and instead of just assuming that there probably isn't a God, and that if there is a God, this God is always judging me in a way that I don't really want to be judged. What if I turned that on its head and said, well, okay, what if I just told myself every morning, there is a God that exists, that God loves me, and that God has purpose for me, no matter whether I'm having a good day or a bad day, or good things happen or bad things happen, how might I behave differently? How might things look differently? So I said, you know, so what if I just did this for 12 months, just made it an experiment? What if I just assumed those things were true and then thought, okay, what would I do if those were true? So I started this, and the next day, I went out and I bought a Powerball ticket. I won, and then world peace was declared and everyone laid down their arms. No, of course not, right? So none of that happened, but things did over time start to look a little differently. And it's kind of like, I can't really take credit for it, but I can't remember who to give credit for. So I'm just going to say someone told me it's sort of like when you have this, you kind of reach this other place, this other way of looking at the world. It's like you still live in the same house with the same leaky faucet and the same door hinges that need to be fixed, but all of a sudden somebody turned the light on. And I think that's probably the best way I can characterize what happened over the course of those 12 months. There was no flash of lightning. There was no bells in heaven ringing for me, and I never saw an apparition that turned out to be God that knocked me over. But all of a sudden, things, after a while, started to look a little different. And so I guess when I relate this to the God shows up, I guess I had to look back and think, God shows up if we start with the assumption that it's possible for God to show up, then maybe God will show up. But if we automatically, like I always did, skeptically and cynically write off the very possibility, it's going to be really hard for us to see God show up even when God is right in front of our face. So, I don't know. That was my experience. You can see whether or not that jibes with anything you think about and maybe how it makes sense with what Mike is going to say. So, enjoy, and I'll turn it over to Mike now.
Great. Thanks, Nick. Well, welcome and good morning again, Jacob's Well. Glad you're here with us. It's our second week of rope. Yeah. So what does that mean, right? If you were here last week, maybe you were introduced to the concept. Well, you were introduced to the concept, and how much of it you took in. It was a lot of information. But it's really good, important stuff. So I just want to give you a bit of a recap. And I'll first tell you about these three strands of rope. If you were here with us last week, you may have received them. Or if you're here today, you may have got one this morning. Feel free to take some as you go. But the rope, can everybody hear me? Am I? Okay, good. All right, so rope it's an acronym that stands for Rites of Passage Experiences. And it's also this metaphor that stands for our life. We can think of our life as a rope. And think of that rope, each of you would have received three strands of a cord. We can think of our lives as the weaving of ourselves and our community and the world around us and God. And together, that is our rope. So we have all of our lives, our ropes, are made up of stories, these significant experiences or happenings or interactions that make a deep impact in our life, and they are places of learning and growth. And we believe as a community that it's important to tell our stories, to share our stories with one another, to learn from them and to grow from them. And rope is one of those ways that we can begin to talk about our stories with one another so that we can grow and come into a new depth of understanding of how our life is really woven of God and community and ourselves all together. So we're going to be talking about rope for the next 4 more weeks, but we're also hoping that this becomes a language for us to use as a community to share with one another about what's going on in our lives. And we got to see a couple rope experiences this morning. We had this beautiful baptism where we were able to participate with Jesse and Angie in Grace's baptism and made those promises to her, to teach her, to tell her our stories, these stories about faith and our questions about God, and to listen to her questions and stories as she grows up. We heard Nick's rope story of changing his default setting. And these are very, very important stories, and they're complicated, right? They're really complex. You see, they're talking about God. And we don't always have easy ways to talk about God. Nick was kind of getting at it. You know, it's hard to think about this eternal, almighty creator, and then to be able to have a conversation about our lives with one another and how we experience God in the midst of it. Like, how do we do that? We need language in order to talk about God with one another. And that's what part of this rope language is about. It's giving us ways to talk about God, to grow and learn from one another's stories. So God talk has been happening for thousands of years, right? There's all these theologians and, you know, it never really gets the full picture of God. All this God talk, even the thousands of years of it, have come up short. They can't really capture who God is and how God acts. And at their worst, this God talk has really kind of crammed God into a box. And I think maybe you're familiar with this, but the box that we as human beings have put God in, that God can't get out of for us, is the box of the sacred and the profane, or the holy and the unholy. We have this picture, or we've put God in a box that says, God is the totally perfect, almighty creator, and God can't deal with the imperfections of the world. That there's this boundary or space between what's holy and what's unholy, what's sacred and what's profane, or what's spirit and what's flesh. We've put God in this box, and I think it's a really big problem because God does not fit into any boxes that we can create, not even the sacred and the profane. So I want to read you a story. And this is from Mark chapter 3. Again, Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. This man had leprosy. And the church leaders, the synagogue leaders at that time, they watched Jesus to see whether or not he would cure the man on the Sabbath. If he did, they were going to accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come forward." And then he said to those church leaders gathered there, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And Jesus looked around with anger because he was grieved at the hardness of their hearts. And he said to the man, "Stretch out your withered hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. And the Pharisees went out immediately, conspired with the Herodians against him to see how they could destroy him. You see, the Pharisees, or the church leaders of Jesus' time, they put God in a box. They took God's gift of a Sabbath rest and made it into a new type of work. Sabbath for the Pharisees became this new way of deciding who was holy and who wasn't holy. So if Jesus heals this man in the synagogue on the Sabbath, he's unholy, right? But Jesus shows them through this compassionate love that God won't be put in their boxes of holy and unholy, but that radical love will change everything and will bring fullness of life. Jesus says that in those words, "Stretch out your withered hand." And Jesus says that to each one of us. What are those places in our lives where we feel unholy, unworthy, where we feel withered or profane? There is no place where the hand of God, where the love of God cannot reach. There's no box that God cannot get out of. In fact, God is the one going around with this box cutter, cutting holes in the wall of our boxes and inviting us into this radical love, this transforming power of God. It can't be contained. And it's a beautiful, life-changing thing. And that is available for all of us. So are you trapped in a box? Are there places in your life where God's touch, you know, it can't reach us? We're too unholy? Well, maybe it's time to have a default change. Because God can go even there. So this is the business of what God is about. And I wanted to share, there's a quote by Richard Rohr, who's this Franciscan monk and a really smart dude. He says, "God comes to us disguised as our life." And sometimes it's hard to talk about God because when we think about our rope, those three cords of ourselves and community and the world and God, sometimes they're woven so tightly that we can't distinguish one from the other. So I thought maybe I could share three stories from my life where I've experienced that God strand very significantly, and I'll share a couple stories. Two of them are actually from this week, and one is from a few years ago. Yeah, I had two significant God experiences this week, people. All right? Yeah, you'll catch up eventually. Yeah. Okay, so the first one was on Friday. Were any of you out this weekend? It was MEA weekend. I know a lot of folks have been out and about. Well, this might have been the most beautiful weekend in the history of the world. I don't know. There was gorgeous trees and sunshine. This was the path that I was walking. This is Lake Como. And I walk it every day. I've got a Vizsla at home. They're really high-strung dogs, and I got a baby. And if you want sanity, you walk Lake Como. So I was out there on Friday like I am pretty much every day. And I walked around this corner, and I was coming around the south end of the lake. And there in front of me was this beautiful, fiery red and yellow and orange sugar maple. It was unbelievable. And it totally made me think about Moses and the burning bush, right? This bush was on fire, yet it was not consumed. What's going on? And then I looked to my left. The whole city's on fire. Look outside, people. Everything is on fire. And I was just overwhelmed with this beauty. And it made me think, actually, about trees. These beautiful, beautiful creatures, these trees out here, their breath, the lungs of the world that give us air, they are a symbol of God's love for us. They give us fruit. They give us the aesthetic, that picture. They give us shade in the summer. These are beautiful things. And they are a sign of God's love to all of us. And I'm looking up there, and then I look down in the stroller, and this is what I see. That's not it. That's it. Oh my gosh, you know, beautiful baby. I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude. It was a very beautiful, beautiful holy moment. I was filled up with the fullness of life and filled up with gratitude. And that gratitude had to spill over. It made me think of people in West Africa who are, maybe their families, they've been broken up by death from Ebola. It made me think of the folks who don't have the health or the time or the freedom to walk around a lake or the safety to walk around a lake. And that gratitude and that awareness that others don't have this experience calls me to action. It calls me to want to show God's love in the fullness of life that I've experienced to others. So that's story number one. The second story is from 2010. Excuse me. There we are. It's a ragtag bunch. Aaron's here. Aaron and I, who's playing keys today, we took a group of 7 high schoolers to Arkansas to Heifer Ranch. And this was a great trip. Jordan Meyer was on the trip, Greg and Chris Meyer's son. And we knew before he left that his grandma was sick back in Wisconsin. And but we were going to go along. He was going to come along on the trip with us regardless. And sure enough, about 3 days into the trip, I got a call from Greg that Jordan's grandmother had just passed away. And so I took Jordan out from the group activity that we were doing, and Jordan talked to Chris and Greg on the phone for a little bit, and, you know, there was tears, and then the phone conversation was over, and then it was just me and Jordan outside. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't really, you know, have words to fix anything, but I did have, you know, 2 words, I'm sorry. And I had a hug and a shoulder to cry on. And that was all we needed. God showed up in the quiet presence that we had with one another. And I had learned through my own experiences with death and through my hearing the stories of God and Jesus, and particularly hearing about the stories of Jesus, his passion, his death on a cross, and his burial in a tomb, I knew that even in death, we're not alone. That's God's promise to us. And that meant that I could just sit there with Jordan and not have to say anything to fix it, because I couldn't. But I knew that God was in the midst, in our presence with us, and that just sitting there and being with him would speak enough. That, no, Jordan, even though you're in this time of grief and loss, you're not alone. That's the God that we have. And the third story is also from this week. It's a little lighter. So Tuesday, we as a staff finally got around to something that we had been planning on doing, since, you know, November of 2013. We had our Christmas 2013 party on Tuesday. There it is. All it took was Greg leaving for us to throw a party. I don't know. He must have been kind of the missing link in the whole thing. But so you know how things get. You get busy. Lives are crazy. And so we had not had our Christmas party, and it's really problematic if you lap, you know, Christmas party. So we had to get it done. I don't even know how it happened. We were in a staff meeting on Monday, and somebody said, well, let's just do it. We did. And, so I woke up on Tuesday morning, you know, it's Christmas. I put on my best corduroy suit, got the Christmas colors going, and I promised to make venison backstraps. Back in November, the deer was actually still good, which is nice after a year. But so I made this food, and I show up, and I walk into the office, and it is like a department store North Pole. I mean, seriously, Chris Tripolino just went Buddy the Elf on the office. He, had lights, and look at this guy. I mean, seriously. and there was these beautiful dishes, you know, just eclectic Christmas dishes full of really good food, and everybody had their Christmas sweaters on and hats. Chris has a snowman tie that's round at the bottom. I mean, you know, that's holiday cheer right there. And it was beautiful. And, you know, we as a staff have been going through a lot of good, difficult work. You know, we've been doing, we just had What's on Your Plate in September, and we put a lot of effort into that. And now we're talking about Rope, and we really have a lot of hopes for this to take off for the community. And so it's been kind of stressful. And to have this interruption of God showing up of Christmas in the midst of our Tuesday in October, it was this beautiful interruption of radical joy, of just being overwhelmed by the spontaneity and the only the joy that dressing up so ridiculously can bring. But I experienced God in the radical hospitality that I experienced through Chris and the rest of the staff, the way that we fed each other, the joy that we wore on our faces. I mean, this was a beautiful interruption to a lot of good, hard work that we've been doing. It was this reminder to rest and to be filled up. And that was the third experience of God twice from this week, people. It's been a good week. But we are all invited to experience God in this way and to share these stories with one another of God interrupting our lives, of our awareness of God around us, building up and sharing where we see God active and alive in our world. So be thinking about those stories. Be thinking about where God is in the midst of your life and how we talk about that together. I want to point you to the bottom of your Sunday papers, and we have a good homework question that you can be thinking of this week. But it's right there on the bottom. Is your default mode to expect God to show up? And why or why not? And do you expect God to show up in some places more than others? Maybe that's getting at that sacred, profane. I don't know. But what are your God stories? And how do we share them together? Be thinking about that this week. And know that when you share these stories with one another, that we are being filled up and our ropes are becoming stronger and more just amazing. And so be thinking about these stories and let's share them together. Amen? Amen. Amen.